Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, let's see if we can wrap up our study of temptation as given to us by James in James chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. And let me begin by reading again these familiar verses. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And then it says in verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So let's see if we can conclude this today on Monday, January 23. Many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep the Beacon Broadcast on the air. All right, reviewing, first of all, what James has already told us. He's told us, number one, that sinful temptation never comes from God. God is not the source of sinful temptation. Furthermore, he has told us that sin originates in the hearts of men and women. That's where it comes from, and Jesus told us the same thing. James is not telling us anything that Jesus did not tell us. Jesus said, it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. That's one statement by Christ. It's not, now we think, and we really do, we think that it was some terrible provocation that made me say what I said. I wouldn't have said that. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm like. How many times do we talk that way? That's not me. That's not what I'm like. But if you could understand the nature of the provocation, if you understood what he said, if you knew what she said, if you knew the sequence of events, then you would understand that what I said was normal. It was inevitable. It wasn't really me. That's not me talking. That's not what I'm like. But that was the temptation, that was the provocation from the outside that caused me to do that. But Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, who am I supposed to believe in a matter like this? You or Jesus? Or maybe I should put it this way. Who am I supposed to believe in a matter like this? Me or Jesus? Because I've said the same thing at times that I just described. We all have. I'm sure we have all said that at times. That's not me speaking. That's not me. Or people sometimes, when they get inebriated, they get drunk, they drink too much, and they get controlled by alcohol, and then they say things like this. Well, that wasn't me talking. That was the alcohol talking. Sorry. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's true. Whether you're drunk or sober. What Jesus is saying is these things come out of the inner man because we are sinful creatures. Now, what the truth of the matter is that normally we guard our speech a little more carefully because we're concerned about our reputation. So it is that provocation that caused me to let down my guard. But when I let down my guard, the real me came out. It was the alcohol that caused me to let down my guard. But when the guard was let down, it was the real me that came out. We've got to yield to Scripture on this, yield to Christ on this, and say, when I said that, That was me speaking. That was from my heart. And it's not just our speech, but it is all of our sins. Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, it's what comes out of a man that defiles a man. And it is all of these things that come out from the inside. And Jesus gave a list of several of them there. Not only our speech, but adulteries and all kinds of things, murders, envies, all of these things that come out of the heart, and that's what defiles us. In other words, as it comes out of our heart and acts out in our life, then it has a defiling influence upon us. But where did it come from? It comes from within. Sin originates in our heart. Now, that being true, we need to understand, therefore, that temptation has its power because of the sin within us. If it were not for the sin that was already within us, temptation would have no power. None whatsoever. Temptation has no power on Christ because he had no sin. The theologians in years past debated that question. Was it possible for Christ to sin? There's a Latin phrase for that that I don't remember exactly what it is. Peccare, non peccare, or something like that. Or peccare, non peccare. I don't remember. Maybe that's what it was. Peccare, non peccare. Some of you Latin students will know. I haven't studied Latin. So anyway, that's the Latin phrase or something, a rough equivalent of it. But the question was it possible for Jesus to sin? And that's been debated back and forth, bantered one way or another. And usually it's considered in terms of logic. If Christ was incapable of sinning, then it wasn't a real temptation, was it? It's only a temptation when the person that's tempted is capable of falling. And then to resist the temptation is a very noble act because the temptation is real. Well, you have to understand with Christ, it's different. That's the way it would be with all of us because every one of us have inward sin. And so temptation is very real. And when we resist temptation, we are resisting a powerful force because of the sin within. But that's the point. Since Christ was sinless, he had no sin within. Therefore, the temptation to him was not powerful in the same way. Now, it is true, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And that phrase, yet without sin, of course, speaks of the fact that he did never yield to sinful temptation. But the truth of the matter is, he had no sin within him, and so there was nothing within him that responded to the sin. Remember a few broadcasts ago, we talked about that magnet. The magnet only has a power when it's applied to something that is of a magnetic nature. You put the magnet on steel, as long as it's not stainless steel, and powerful attraction. Put it on aluminum, powerful attraction. Put it on a block of wood, nothing. Nothing. You can put it on a block of wood all day long. You can turn it up, electromagnet, turn up the power, turn up the strength as strong as you want. You can run all kinds of volts through that electromagnet, and it's not going to have any force upon wood whatsoever because there's nothing in the nature of wood that responds to that. Same way with sin. With Christ, there was nothing within him that responded to it. Because Christ is God. And that's what we just read. That God cannot be tempted by evil. Why not? Because he's holy. There's no sin in his nature. Therefore, it is constitutionally impossible. He is constitutionally incapable of being tempted by evil. And the same is true of Jesus Christ. He is God. But you say he took upon him humanity, and indeed he did, but it was sinless humanity. He had no earthly father. He did not inherit the depraved, fallen human nature from Adam that all of us have inherited. So he was different. So to answer that question, was it possible for Christ to sin? No. He is, and I think the theological term for this is impeccable. He was incapable of sinning. Now, the temptation was a real temptation in other ways, but not in the same way that it is to us, because his nature, being holy, undefiled, and without sin, had nothing within it that responds to sinful temptation. The temptation on the outside is powerful only because of what's inside. Yes, it was that provocation that caused me to say what I said, but you've got to realize the provocation only had a provoking power because of the sin within my heart. And so forth, for every sin, every temptation, the temptations that tempt us, that we are drawn to respond to and have to fight to resist, are only powerful because of the sin that's within our heart. But then, as we've seen in verse 15, sin destroys those who yield to it. Then when sin has conceived, it gives birth, or when desire, rather, desire has conceived, that desire within us that responds to the temptation, when desire has conceived, when desire yields to temptation, that's when it conceives, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, when it develops, brings forth death. It takes time, but sin eventually destroys us, and it must be stopped, therefore, before it reaches the point of destruction. And the fact of the matter is, men are unable to stop themselves from sinning. Oh, they may stop themselves on this occasion or that occasion, but they cannot stop themselves from all sin because we're sinful creatures, and we just have this response to certain temptations. So what's the solution to the sin that otherwise will destroy us? The cross of Christ. Repentance and faith in Christ. Christ and Christ alone is able to cleanse us from our sin and defeat our sin and eventually destroy our sin. And what we must understand is either sin will be destroyed by Christ or it will destroy us. Take your pick. Take your pick. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So take your pick. Either yield to Christ, come to him in faith, call upon him to destroy sin within you, or resign yourself to the fact that the sin within you is going to destroy you. Now, we don't want to be rid of our sin, is the truth. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so we aren't naturally drawn to Christ. Even when we know that sin is destroying us, we still love it. We love the thing that destroys us. Just like the person who keeps going back to his alcohol, even though he knows it's destroying him, the temptation is so powerful, he loves it, and he would rather be destroyed by it than to give it up. Well, that's the way sin is. But please understand, dear friend, that sin will destroy you unless you come to Christ and allow Christ to destroy it. Well, actually, we've run out of time, and I still have a couple other things that I want to say about this passage before we move on from it to the next verse. Verse 17 is where we're going. So please come back again tomorrow at the same time, and we will endeavor truly to finish up our study of temptation from James chapter 1. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.